Good morning, everyone. Let me get all my screens set up so that we can get started today. This is the Q&A call. So this week, we're actually going to do just straight up Q&A. The last couple of weeks, I've been really focused on teaching you something that I think is super important. So if you did not watch the last couple of Q&As, you might want to. If you struggle with, I'm overeating because it tastes so good, Corinne. I did a big Q&A on that one. And then, gosh, I can't remember what the other one was. It was something along the lines, mindless eating. We did a big Q&A on mindless eating where I went through a few, just some steps on how do you break the habit of eating because it tastes so good? And how do you break the habit of mindless eating? So either one of those things are your issue, go to the video replays section of No BS or go to your live training podcast and your private member podcast. Remember, as a private member, you have access to podcasts that no one in the free world does. You get all the good stuff inside of No BS. When you're listening to the public podcast, I'm just going to say Kathy and I are extremely entertaining. I get it. And we teach you a lot, but we can't do deep dives in the public podcast. So I always recommend that our members that you use the public podcast after you've used things that are inside the membership. So always go to your private member podcast first and foremost for the most in-depth examples of when we do a mindless eating class inside of No BS, I might talk about mindless eating on the podcast, but I'm going to give you the actual steps and break it down for you on how to solve it inside of the membership. All right, let me pull up Coach Betsy. And if you don't know, I'm going to make a little announcement. My team doesn't know I'm doing this, but Dina, who has been part of our community team for, I don't even know how long Dina's been on the community team. It's been a little bit. She's been a member for a while. She just graduated from the Life Coach School and is moving over to be a coach on our coaching team. So we have added Dina and she is in training today as a coach. So do me a favor. We have something new in our classes like this. There's a button called reactions. If you go to the bottom of your screen, if you're on your computer, you'll see reactions. If you go to your phone, I believe there's like three little buttons. You can leave party hats. You can leave hearts. You can leave all the things. That lets me know that number one, it's like, say more about this, or it's just like, woohoo, I love that. So give Dina some love because she is, there's even the laughing face. I haven't even looked at the reactions yet to see what all I can have y'all do. Corinne has not had a chance to even play with the new tool. So today it's going to be Q&A, and let me go over a few announcements and then we will get into questions. And I have a really, really good one on tap for our first one. And if you have any questions, go ahead and start putting them into the Q&A, or you can put them in the chat. We have members over in the chat, team members also in the chat. They always type in all caps. That's how you know one of us is talking. So all caps is one of us. And Dina, I'm just going to tell you, you need to change your name. Now you got to put Coach Dina in there. Can't be just Dina anymore. So we've got to have Coach Dina, she, her, with her pronouns. All right. Let's see. Where are my announcements? I want to make sure I say all the things so that we know what we're doing. All right. So number one, if you are brand new to No BS, let's say you're just like, Corinne, I just joined. I'm fucking tickled to be here. I have stumbled into your live call. What is this? This is Q&A. I do these on Wednesdays. We also have other live calls that happen inside of No BS, but they are not required. This is the extra stuff. This is where you get a chance to hear some live interaction. You get to see me work with other members who may be like you, where it just gives you an extra level of like making the information that you take inside the No BS weight loss course make sense. So this is one of those things that if you don't catch them live, it doesn't fucking matter. They will always be loaded into the private member podcast. They're always loaded into the video replays. And what do, y'all? We do not listen to content until we have made a 24-hour plan. So when you make your 24-hour plan and you've listened to the No BS Weight Loss course, you are free to listen to all you want. Up until that point, especially if you overwhelm easily, do not listen to these calls. Do not think you have to. Do not think that you're somehow, you know, not using the program if you don't listen to every fucking word that falls out my mouth. That is not the case. This is the stuff you layer in once you have the basics set. And the way you get the basics set is you take the No BS Weight Loss course. Now, for the rest of you bitches, you schedule these things. You either come live or you listen to one or you listen to some. But this is where you get some of that extra reinforcement. A lot of you say, I lose weight better when I got Corinne in my ear. So that means that when you're showering, when you're blowing your hair dry, like I was this morning, when you are walking, that is when you listen to things and then your subconscious brain is taking it all in. And that's important because what gets us into fucking trouble with food? When all we hear is what society tells us, and all we hear is our usual banter that we have inside our head about our problems and stuff. If we're not pouring new shit in for our brain to synthesize, then it just keeps synthesizing the bullshit of which you already have. So one of the things about listening passively is that your subconscious is taking it in. And you never know when you're going to be faced with a cookie, and you normally are just like, ooh, that looks good. But you may have listened to me say something about, hey, in those moments when your brain says, ooh, that looks good, you have to tell yourself something different. Progress is in hearing that statement, not just believing it. So when you're passively listening, you never know when that moment's going to come where you'll hear that thought and be like, you know what? Corinne said this would happen. I would suddenly notice that I'm thinking about how good the cookie tastes instead of thinking, it's okay, I can plan that little son of a bitch tomorrow. I have to tell my brain to think something else. Yeehaw. That's how we do. This is what I want you doing. I want you layering in these calls in your passive time. And then I want you to do something with this shit. If you're like, let's say you go back and you listen to the Q&A where we talked about breaking mindless eating. If that's your problem, don't just listen and be like, hallelujah, amen, preach, emojis. That does you no good. No good. Now, I will tell you, it's better than doing nothing. It's better than sitting back with your thumb up your ass thinking, you know, I'm not going to listen to anything. It's really hard for me to lose weight. A step up is at least fucking listening. But the next step is if I say something that you know is for damn sure your problem, you owe it to yourself to write down the one thing you are going to try. You schedule when you're going to try it. You think about trying it. You plan to try it. You set your environment up in order to try it. And then when the time comes, guess what you do? You try it. This is how we make progress. And this is how we use the things that we have inside the membership. Now, speaking of what's inside the membership, I hope y'all are watching the Conquering the Scale course. Y'all, I'm so proud of it. One of the things that's completely missing in the diet industry is they tell us to weigh in, but they do not teach us about the scale. They make our self-worth dependent upon what we see. We are very conditioned to live and breathe by what the scale tells us. The reason why I created this course is because I watched so many of you struggle and suffer with it. And we had a little bit of teaching inside of No BS about it, the No BS Weight Loss course, but we didn't have near enough to overcome social conditioning, habit patterns, fears, and insecurities. And one of the things that I noticed when I was watching y'all the last few months is that if you let the scale dictate your mood, then you are giving away a lot of your power and authority over being able to actually lose your weight and make significant change in your life. I watch so many of you like pick fights with your partners, silent treatment kids all because you're having a poo-poo day over what you weighed in the morning. This scale course means a lot to me, and it means a lot to me for you to take it, because I don't think it's just about helping you know how to get on the scale and use it as data. I think it's life-changing. I have watched too many of us spend our entire lives, our life's project, to weigh a certain number, to be beholden to whatever the scale tells us. We allow it to control the relationship, not only with ourselves, but when we allow it to erode that relationship with ourselves, it is a natural consequence that the relationship with other people is eroded along with it. No more sitting around avoiding pictures because of what you weighed this morning. No more not going on vacations because you didn't make your weight. No more going through the day snapping at people because your mood is on edge because the first thing you did in the morning was weigh and beat yourself up for hours on end. And then by the time you get home, you ain't got patience or compassion for no damn body, you or your children, you or your partner, you or your friends. Conquering the scale is about getting the quality of your life back by breaking the tie that we have to that scale and that number. I think the scale is valuable. I think it's a useful tool. I think it helps us like check in with ourselves on where we are with our habits. I also think it's a beautiful way for us to learn how to finally repair the relationship with ourselves by doing this, getting on the son of a bitch, letting all of our crap come up, realizing fundamentally how we talk to ourselves and what we say to ourselves, and then changing the conversation on purpose, deciding that we are worth more than this conversation that we're having. So it's important that all of you take this course. Don't sit back and say, I don't have time. It is not that long. I kept it short and sweet for a reason, because I want you to have the time to work on yourself. I do not want any of you using my program as an excuse to not take care of yourself. If it takes too much of your time, then rather than sitting there and believing that, I want you to reach out to us, do it and ask coaches. Do it in Facebook. Fucking email support at pnptribe.com if you have to. And ask us, what is the bare minimum I need to do to make progress? And tell us what your biggest problems are. I would rather direct you to what to do than for you to sit around and do nothing, believing you don't have time, believing that you can't lose weight. I promise you, all of us have time for weight loss. Here's how I know. It takes you longer to overeat than it does to eat to enough. Don't tell me you ain't got time to lose weight when you got time to overeat. That's called extra time. I'll cut your meals to 5 minutes versus 8, saving you 3 more minutes of your precious day to get to whatever bullshit people-pleasing crap you got on your list. And it's not even a matter of making time for weight loss. We have to realize that weight loss should not be a job. Weight loss is not a chore. Weight loss is something we do to figure out how we are going to treat ourselves with kindness and compassion. How are we going to plan our food so that I don't have to waste the rest of my day worrying what I'm going to eat for lunch, standing in the pantry, wondering if this is going to hurt, falling onto the couch at night, eating my face off, and then spending time in regret afterward, spending time in the morning in shame. I don't want to waste time like that. You know what? You ain't got that time. But y'all are spending time in weight loss bullshit ways. And I don't want that for you anymore. So y'all reach out if you need that help. Don't retreat. All right. So, this Saturday, So the whole month, we're going to be focused on the scale. Y'all have got, if you go to self-study resources, go to the menu on nobiaswomen.com. Everything you need is always on nobiaswomen.com. Log your happy ass in, go to the menu, and it will have your self-study resources there. Pull up Conquering the Scale. On that page, we have goodies for you. There are special weigh-in graphics you can download and use. There's all kinds of things. There's the videos, the replays. There will be, there's a workbook there. So everything that you need in order to stop letting the scale be the, you know, the grand poobah of your day, everything you need is going to be right there. And then this Saturday, if you want to come to a worksheet implementation call, the coaches are taking you through Goal Weight 101. On this call, it's about, like, if you have drama around reaching your goal weight, setting a goal weight, Coach Julie is going to walk you through how to do that. There will be coaching opportunities, and it's on Saturday, May 7th at 10 a.m. Central Time. All right. Let's see. We also have 14 new members in the Queen's Club this week. Whoop, whoop. If you do not know what the Queen's Club is, go to the main homepage menu. So if you go on over to nobiaswomen.com, go to the menu. Planner Plus Extras will show you where you can find out more information about joining the Queen's Club after you've lost 25 pounds. So I want to highlight Renee Cotton, who is also in the middle of the Don't Stop Believing. All right. So somebody asked a question. This is a good one for me to read out. When I go to nobiaswomen.com, it takes me to pnptribe.com. That is correct. So, 2 years ago, we changed over from PNP Tribe to Nobias Women. And we have changed everything except for the URL's final destination. Not to get too much in the weeds, but to change out URL links is a big ass technical process that has to be done very carefully. It is the very last thing standing on making sure that we are completely Nobias Women. So if you see it, if you see your little URL switch over to pnptribe.com, you are in the right place. Do not worry about that. One of these days, hopefully sooner rather than later, Chris Crabtree is going to get that fixed, because I've only been asking for it for 2 fucking years, but I've been told it's a process. Queenie needs to be patient. Just like I teach y'all in weight loss, patience is the number one virtue. So it is when you're changing technology. So we all have to practice our fucking patience. All right. So Renee Cotton is training for the Don't Stop Believing event, which we are 7 weeks out. If you still want to come to Nashville and do this event, the 1 hour is there. If you want to do it virtually, you still got time. But here's what she said, and I just want to read this to everybody because I think it's so sweet. Today, when I was walking in my neighborhood, a man pulled up in a truck beside me. At first, I was scared. I was worried he was going to ask me for some money, harass me, or even worse. Instead, he simply said, "I've seen you walking in the neighborhood a lot lately, and I just wanted you to know that I admire your determination." And I actually let the compliment hit, and I thanked him and realized that I really do admire the work I'm doing too. I never thought that anything I do, especially in the realm of fitness or weight loss, might possibly inspire someone else. But here we are. So anyway, congratulations, Renee. I just wanted to read that because I thought that was, it just really moved me when I saw it. All right. First question. I've noticed I have 4 types of hunger. I think this is an excellent question. When I saw this one, I was like, we are for sure going to fucking talk about this. First type of hunger, the hunger where my body actually feels pretty good being empty. So I like to call this is like my walking around hunger. Like I can function. It's like I was on vacation this last weekend. So I was in Vegas, and you know, a lot of times when we're in Vegas, we get busy. Like I wake up in the morning, I do my work. I like to go work out a little bit. Next thing you know, like I'm walking and talking the strip with Jane on Marco Polo. And I look up and it's been a while. And I'm like, woo, I'm getting hungry. I call it walking around hunger. I can function. I can do things. There's no panic. There's no worry. I'm just starting to notice like, all right, We should probably start thinking about breakfast now. Then she said she has a second type of hunger. So she's got four types. The hunger where I'm almost nauseous and really feel like if I don't eat something, I'm going to be sick. I call this, I need to learn not to wait this long hunger. This is what we call, like the only time Corinne is ever this hungry, I was this hungry on the way back from Vegas. Got up in the morning and we ate breakfast early. So we went to the airport. We're doing our thing. We're getting checked in. We got a long flight. When we get to Nashville, we're delayed. Construction everywhere. Couldn't get out of the damn airport. Luggage takes forever. At this point, it's been about 9 hours since I had breakfast. I didn't have no snacks. I didn't have anything with me. I was so busy working on the plane. I didn't even take pretzels. Missed the damn chick when she walked by. I was really hungry. I was starting to get moody. I was like, it was getting into that hangry stage. That's the kind of hunger that I want to know. I rarely ever do it to myself. It's not the kind of hunger I want, but I want to be able to tell myself that when that hunger strikes, I am going to be patient. I'm going to tell myself nothing's going wrong. I will get to eat soon. I need to focus myself on when food comes, I'm going to want to hoover it. I'm going to want to tell myself, like, I can have extra. I got too hungry. I want to remind myself, Corinne, when it's time to eat, you are likely to have a lot of thoughts that you normally have rush in. They all will feel true. They all will come fast. But before we get there, I just want to let you know, love, it's all okay. Your brain is just telling you what it normally associates with that level of hunger. And we're going to let our brain say all of it, but we're not going to respond to it. We're not going to believe it. We're not going to wish that didn't happen. We're not just going to like say like, well, okay, and react on it. We're just going to be, but our reaction is to be very aware that this is likely to happen. We rarely get this hungry. We're working towards making sure that we don't do that kind of hungry anymore because it's just not good for us to get that hungry. And so that calms me down. And it sets the intention that when I start eating, my brain has a dry run through of how to settle itself down. Okay. Then she said, there's a third type of hunger. So we've got walking around hunger. We got like, woo, hangry. Shit's going off the rails in hunger land. We have a third, hormonal hunger, where it feels like you need a lot of food immediately. Sometimes this is hormonal. It's going to depend on if this is like time of the month hunger. Like for me, I will have hormonal hunger a couple of days before my period starts. And then my hormones kill my appetite on the day my period starts. I am so bloated and stuff. It's like, I practically have to remind myself to eat. But a couple of days before, like I just noticed I have lots of cravings, lots of urges, and lots of things coming up. Hormonal hunger can also be where you are very stressed out during the day and your body is like running cortisol, running adrenaline, like it's nobody's business. And then what ends up happening is when you finally settle down, your body doesn't know how to dispose of the hormones in a slow downgrade. So like, if you think about, let's see if I've got some paper. I don't know what this is, but we're going to use it. If you think about your day, if you're having a stressful day, this is kind of how it works. I got to see if I'm make sure that y'all can see this. Hang on. I got so many things up on my screen. I can't even see y'all anymore. All right. So this right here, this is where we start at the day, right? It's just like we wake up. Most of our stress, most of our cortisol is at a certain point. It's just like at a baseline. Sometimes you may wake up and it's above the baseline. That's okay. All I'm saying is that your body is like in this realm. But then as As your thoughts go on through the day and as things happen, stress and cortisol start rising. Notice how it's going like a roller coaster. It's like chunk, 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 chunk. It's like slowly going up. The problem is that when nighttime comes, you have, maybe you've underate during the day. Your boss been yelling at you. The kids needed to be run everywhere. Your partner's been a dick. They were supposed to be home at 5. They came home at 6:30. And you were just like, all the things have happened. This is what happens the moment you relax. No chunk, chunk, chunk. It'd be pleasant if it did that. But this is what happens. Your body drops your adrenaline and your cortisol below your baseline. It just empties everything out. So that's why sometimes at night, all of a sudden, y'all have crazy urges. You want to eat extra. Like there's this, it just feels so real. It's chemical. But this is good to know because it's chemical, that means that your brain can override it. It can be like, oh, I'm not actually more hungry. I've just dumped all the chemicals and hormones in my body that were suppressing hunger, that were suppressing thoughts around food, that were doing all this. And my habit cycle is likely to kick in because when I've experienced this in the past, my brain thinks it's just time to eat a lot of food. So it just tells me time to eat a lot of food. Feels very real, feels very, you know, all the things. But this is where you get to be like, oh, now that I know better, what I can tell my mind is let's have a regular meal. Let's breathe through it. Let's understand I'm at the tail end of a day. Let's make sense that, you know, even if I had dinner and now it's 8:30, everything's taken care of and it's time to relax, that when my body drops all of its hormones, all of its chemicals and stuff out, that I'm likely to want to eat simply because it's a habit, simply because I'm having a chemical reaction going on in my body. Talking to yourself about the process helps you separate from it. So if you will think about when that happens, if you think about this, it's like, this makes sense why I would really want food right now. Because what most of us do is just like, again, another night. I told myself I wasn't going to eat. We just whine. And then guess what we're doing? We're like driving that cortisol back up. And our minds are like, but we're supposed to be relaxing. You're getting stressed out. Like, I got to do something. So I'm going to hit the panic button. I'm going to make you eat. So we want to use the awareness to talk to ourselves and be like, okay, the worst that's happening is I'm wanting to eat right now, but it makes sense because what I need is rest. I've dropped all the cortisol and the adrenaline in my body. My body is looking for a way to relax. And I need to make sure my mind stays relaxed around this. Otherwise, my body is likely and my mind is likely to keep asking me for more food. I have some stuff that I'm going to be introducing about this in the next few weeks. I've been researching this a little bit more, but I thought today was a good day to kind of just briefly introduce that to help y'all with when that happens. The fourth type of hunger, the urge hunger for something very specific. Like, I just want chips. I just want this. Like, I've got my plan. None of that sounds good. We're done with that. So the person said what they need help with, because the hunger level, like the actual desire, like I can feel it in my body. Because when you think about food and when you're not raising your awareness, when you're not pattern interrupting stuff, when you just continue to think about food, your brain is like, okay, well, let me talk to your stomach. Let me send you up some hunger signals. Sometimes when you're having this, you actually can create physical sensations for hunger. Even though you intellectually are like, I just ate at 6. There's no way I'm hungry at 7:00. There's no way at 8:30. I just had like a great dinner. I know that at 8:30, like even if my stomach is acting like it's hungry, it just can't be hungry. This is one of the things I just want you to be aware of. Just because your body, like this is where hunger is just not a black and white issue. It's like no one's ever, like, let me just break the news to you. None of you are ever going to dial in your hunger cues and never have to think about this again. It's just not going to happen. You're always going to need to think about things in this way. I'm going to have hunger cues. And if I feel like this is legit hunger, I probably should eat. I want you to eat. If it's 8:30 at night and you're having some hunger cues and you know it's likely to be your hormones and you know it's likely to be because like your brain is throwing up some hunger cues because you've been obsessing about the cookies in the kitchen for 2 hours, this is when we're going to go into the gray area and be like, I'm going to need to like allow myself to think about the cookies and think about, I don't need them. This is when I get to like, say, am I wanting the cookies so bad? Because in the past I've denied myself cookies. Am I wanting the cookies so bad because I have a story around them? Like I should just get them out of the house. I should just eat them all tonight and I won't bring them back. If that's happening, that's when you want to work with yourself and just say, hey, we're unlearning that cookies are off the table for the rest of our lives. What we're learning is that when we have cookies, I want to have cookies in a way where I really enjoy it. It was on my plan. I got to look forward to it. I wasn't just eating it to shut my brain up and to get away from myself. I don't want to be that person anymore. That's where you change that conversation. And when you change that conversation, guess what happens? Adrenaline and cortisol start coming back down. You're not creating more of it. You're taking your brain off of obsessing. And when your brain is like, when you're really addressing what's going on, your brain is like, oh, I can quit sending you physical hunger cues. That's what I wanted to answer today, because I know the one thing we can't talk enough about inside of No BS is hunger and enough. If we all, like, I promise y'all, if you got to where you were so dialed in with hunger and enough, and you drank your water and you slept, you would lose weight. Period. Most of us just aren't dialed in enough. We're mad that we're not dialed in enough. We're sometimes listening and other times completely ignoring. We're pissed when our brain has urges. We're doing a lot of busy work around weight loss, but we're not actually talking to ourselves. We're not actually reasoning with ourselves. Like, it makes sense that I would obsess about cookies. Like, a good example, there's strawberry cake in the kitchen. I'm going to tell y'all right now, I have said this 1,000 times. There are very few desserts in this world that I give a shit about. Now, I give a lot of shits about French fries and nachos and fried chicken livers, but I've never been a total sweets girl. But there's strawberry cake in the kitchen. My sister-in-law stayed here this weekend with Logan while I was gone, and she literally baked around the clock. And I have looked at those cookies or at that strawberry cake for 2 days. And I have been telling myself, it makes sense that you want it. It's your dessert that you've always said is worth it. I don't have very many that are worth it. Blondies and strawberry cakes are worth it to me. Strawberry shortcake, strawberry cake. And so today when I was making my plan, I was like, I'm going to put a piece of that cake on my plan for dinner tonight. I've spent 2 days looking at it and it's worth it. And that's what I'm going to do. The other 2 days, guess what I didn't do? Sit around and think that I need to text my sister-in-law that she's not allowed to keep that kind of food in my house. How dare she? I didn't sit there and think, JJ, she should know better. I run a weight loss company. She shouldn't leave cake in my house. I didn't do that. I also didn't look at the cake and one time say, you can't have that. each time I looked at it, I said, that's a worth it dessert. Do I want it on my plan today? If I don't, I'll reevaluate tomorrow. What I did was talk calmly about it. I didn't talk about it like it's like an albatross around my neck and then wonder why I'm so stressed out around food. So we got to take the temperature down. All right. Can you address the recent question about so many of us who are OGs? The OGs just mean you've been here a year or more, who are struggling with feeling stuck. We know these are all thoughts and also know we all have the tools we need, but I'm beginning to think we all somehow possibly got stuck during COVID. So that's another thought. We got stuck during COVID. I'm going to tell all of my OGs. I'm going to tell anybody that feels stuck. Number one, next month is stalls and plateaus. We're going to do a whole month on stalls and plateaus, on being stuck. Because a lot of you get stuck. It's a normal part of weight loss. The biggest problem I see with the OGs, and y'all are getting a special call next month. I'm going to talk to all of you, and we are going to focus and dial in on the most, like, Kathy, even when you say, I know it's thoughts, here's what I'm hearing. I know it's thoughts, but it's very true that we've been here a long time and we're stuck. That's the most painful thought you have, is that you're looking at this from a way that feels frustrating, hard, and difficult. Being here for a year, two, or three, and the scale not moving is not a fact. It feels factual. It feels true, but it doesn't make it useful. And when what happens is when you just only, like, you could be thinking, well, I've been here 2 years and the scale's not moving. That doesn't give you commitment. That doesn't generate willingness. It doesn't elicit determination. It doesn't do anything. It's energetically draining to think about all of that. And it's like, I don't care how long you've been here. Do you know what I care about? What you doing today? If you've been here for 2 years, I bet you know to make a 24-hour plan today. But it feels so hard because I've been here for so long and I haven't done things in a while. That's the problem. You're thinking about what you're not doing. You're thinking about how, like, you're like, all right, before I take action that I don't want to, let me sit around and think about all the reasons why it sucks for me. Y'all, could you imagine if every day, like, let's say you got to go to work and you laid in your bed every morning and all you did was be like, well, I'm going to have to get in the car. And, you know, like, I've been driving that way for a long time. It just never seems like I get there any faster. And every day, do you know that I could have an accident and I could die? And then when I get there, like, they bring me work, like, all the time. I don't always feel like doing it. If you laid around and just thought about that all the time, you'd quit your job. None of us would ever leave the house. But, like, if you got a job to go to, you probably wake up in the morning and think this, well, I don't feel like it, but let's turn the shower on. Well, I slept as late as I could, but I got to get to work. You never are excited. It's not like you're like, whoa, every day I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to think exciting things. I'm a unicorn. I love my work. We don't do that. But y'all are, look, OGs, you are just like the person on day one who's scared they can't lose weight. All of you are just at the root of it. I'm scared I can't do it. So I'm going to go and find a reason that validates my fear. And you're looking for reasons to validate fear. That's what's keeping you stuck. I want you to look for reasons why you're going to make a plan today simply because you're here. Not because you're worth it. Not to get excited about it. Not for any damn reason other than I know I should make a plan today. And if making a plan every day is what you're doing and you're not losing weight, then here's your next thought. What is it that I am sitting around not doing that. Today is the day I need to start. I need to think about today being the day that it's time to start. It's time to suck it up. It's time to just not eat that extra serving. It's time to whatever it is that you need to do versus I got to quit sitting around thinking about what I'm not doing. The first step is stop thinking about what hasn't happened. Stop thinking about how long I've been here. Stop thinking about what makes me different. Stop thinking about how I should be further along. Like all of that, I got to shut that shit down. That is the, I promise every OG, I could coach every one of you individually and I would have the exact same advice. Stop thinking about how long you've been here and start thinking about what you're going to do to get to where you want to go. Spend 10 times more time on that. If you want to think about failures and coulda, woulda, shouldas and all that other stuff, here's how you do it. You get out your journal. First, so this is my journal. I keep everything inside my iPad. And you get out your phone. You set a timer for 10 minutes. You got 10 minutes to feel sorry for yourself every day. This works for everything. I do this myself. I have been a little bit on the stressed out side here recently. I've got some shit going on. There's a lot going on in Corinne's life. And it's hard. And I also don't want to spend my entire day feeling sorry for myself. And I also don't want to spend my entire day jacking up my relationships with me, my relationships with other people. I don't want to put my goals on hold simply because I'm feeling sorry for myself. Now, I know that's a hard pill to swallow, OGs. I get it. Nobody likes to hear like, oh, I've been sitting around pitying myself. But that is what we do. When we just sit around and we think about what's wrong with us and why we can't and what we should have been and where we should be and all these things, that's like, I want you to think about this. Would you ever let your best friend do that? Would you be like, if your best friend was talking to you, would you be like, oh, that's all true. I agree. You should have lost weight by now. Oh my God. You've wasted a lot of time, bitch. You would not do that. So if it doesn't make sense to have that conversation with your daughter, with your son, with your best friend, with someone you love, then you do not have the conversation with yourself. You think about, I would tell them advice. I would tell them none of that matters, but what you decide to do today does. So start with something, even if you don't feel like it, even if it feels hard, even if you keep telling yourself, I have failed at that 1,000 times. Y'all, if you've failed at something 1,000 times, I don't give a shit. You know what I care about? What are you going to do on 1,001 time and then 1,002? The only person who ever succeeds is the person who keeps going. The person who quits is always the one who doesn't succeed. So it's important. So here's what I do. I swear to God, every morning I give myself 10 minutes to whine, to be in a pity party, to let it all out. I blame people. I would, like, seriously, if y'all saw my personal journal, you'd be like, she's the one helping us with our mindset. Hers seems to be a little bit on the titty baby side sometimes. But I love to have my titty baby moment for 10 minutes a day. And then the rest of the day, I'm like, you got to do that part. And right now, we're just going to do what we know we need to do. Even if it's hard, even if we don't believe in it, even if our doubts are loud, no matter what, this is what we do. So after the sad pity party, you make your 24-hour plan. This morning, I had my sad ass 10-minute pity party. And guess what I did? I made my 24-hour plan. I wrote down everything I was going to finish today in work. That's just it. And you know what? For the day, I'm going to tell you. I'm writing y'all's summer workshop right now. If you don't know, every single member of NoBS, we are having on June 4th. You can go to the website to get all the information about it. There's lots of information coming out about the summer reset. It is included with your membership. It is a half-day workshop that we are doing for all of you. Well, I am in the middle of writing all the content for it. I have no desire to write this content. Zero. Not because I don't love y'all. Not because I ain't smart. It's hard work. It's very hard work. When I'm writing y'all's content, here's what's going on in my brain. You're not a good writer. You've got other things you probably should be working on. This is too hard. This is going to take all day. This isn't a good time to do this. You got more important things to work on. I am just like y'all. I know that when I'm writing content, it's going to bring up all my insecurities about what kind of a teacher I am, about my writing skills, about am I smart or not? It does all of it. And guess what I do? When I get off this fucking call, I'm going to be getting out the next thing and I'm going to sit down and do it. I'm not going to be happy. I'm not going to expect to be happy. And I think that's part of the problem. Y'all are expecting things to get easy first and then you go do it. You know what gets easier? Stuff you do when it's hard first. And then all of a sudden you realize it's not as bad as you thought. You can make yourself do shit when you don't want to. Once you get into the rhythm, it's not as bad as you think. Then it becomes easier. But for all of my OGs, we are going to do a call about this. I do, like, y'all have a unique thought. You do not have a unique situation. You do not have unique problems. You do not have anything unique. But it is just like when we talk about hunger and enough. Some people never think about it tastes so good. That's just like not something they overeat over. They may overeat for different things, but when something tastes good, it's kind of like Logan. Logan's never going to overeat just because it tastes good. It just doesn't even occur to him. But he's a mindless eater. If he gets bored, I see him in there grazing all the damn time. I talk to him about like the difference between sitting down for a meal and just going through and grabbing something and popping it in your mouth. So for my OGs, you have unique thoughts like it tastes so good. Your unique thoughts are, I've been here a long time. I should have lost my weight by now. I could have done better. There must be something wrong with me because it hasn't clicked yet. I started off so good and somehow lost my way. It was COVID. COVID did it to me. COVID didn't do anything to us other than, you know, make some of us sick. COVID didn't put food in our mouth. And when we hang on to all of that, we feel helpless right now. And that's what I want to help you with, because I think what's happening for some of you who have been here for a while, you're feeling helpless, like you don't know what to do. And I know every one of you knows what to do. It is no different than what I told you on day one. Make a daily 24-hour plan, drink your water, get your sleep. If you're not hungry, don't eat. And when you don't eat, and then all your bullshit comes up because you're not eating, that's what you work on. You work on the thinking that comes up from not eating. And then you stop it enough. And then guess what you do? When you stop it enough, you work on all the bullshit that comes up to eat more, to keep going. That's all we're going to focus on in NoBS, y'all. And that's plenty. You don't need anything else fancy. I promise. I could give y'all fancy all day long. But we got to get the basics and the foundation going more than we want to add extra shit in. So everything I teach you is always at service of what are the excuses that come up that have you, like when y'all don't want to plan, well, there's no room for spontaneity. Bullshit. That's a thought. We need to reframe this on how planning for your food allows you to actually be able to enjoy more food more often. Because when y'all want spontaneity, then you want to go in the reverse and you want to cut all the food out and then wonder why you bend your face off the second you see a Cheeto. So we want to work on all of the thinking that comes up around those simple foundational basics. And that's all we're ever going to do in No BS. And if that's boring to you, go pay somebody a humpteen more $1 million. I don't charge you but $59 a month. I was sitting there looking the other day, Optavia. I'm like, Lord, baby Jesus, why? $400 a month to drink two shitty ass shakes and to get coached by someone who is in a marketing scheme. God love all of you who sell Optavia in our group, but I know you are not a certified coach. All of these weight loss companies y'all keep wanting to go to and give them so much money who are throwing around the word weight loss coach and they got jack no skills. Every one of my people, we all went to the life coach school. We all study. They study under me. I've taken 500,000 different courses. If you want a coach, be fucking sure you got a real one. All right. But OGs, I love you. And that's why we're going to do a special call next month. And I thought that during the month of stalls and plateaus would be the perfect time to have this call to address those unique thoughts, because that is stalling you. It's stalling you not on the scale. It is stalling you in action. And that's what we will focus on next month. All right. No, I got to quit saying OGs, but a lot of people don't know what OG means. It's some people call it old guard, original gangster. We've called them elders. But one of the things I do want to say, and I rant on y'all, and I rant on y'all because I always feel like I have to cut through the noise of the bullshit of what's going on in your brain. Somebody the other day asked me, why do I scream so much? And I said, because their brains are screaming. Their brains are screaming really loud. And it's screaming things like they're not good enough. And it's screaming things like, you know, she doesn't know my unique situation. Like, y'all, I get animated. I get passionate. I cuss. I'm sweating like a beast right now. I yell because I literally know that if I don't talk louder, then that shit in your brain, you're never going to hear me. And I know I get passionate and sometimes it like makes you feel attacked. I want you to know I'm never attacking you. I'm never upset about it. But I am impatient like you are. I am impatient for you to see yourself the way I see you. With all your potential and all the things that you could be doing with your life right now. And the only thing stopping you is some shitty thought like, I should have been further along by now. And you think about that more than what you can be doing with your life to change it starting right now. And that's why I get passionate about it. Vivian, when we try new things like pause plus permission, which if you pause plus permission was something that I taught in the, I believe that was in the mindless eating class. So we'll make sure in this link, in this show notes of this call, we'll put the mindless eating call and we'll put the, it tastes so good calls. Cause I've referenced them like a wild woman the whole time. How many times do you recommend we do it before we decide whether it works for us? A week, a month, 30 times, would love to be able to commit to X amount of days rather than just try once or twice. That's a good question. I would probably, the way the brain works. Now, if some of y'all, if this freaks you out, Just put your baby earmuffs on. But for something to finally like work and click, it needs about a 90-day commitment of trying something. Now that's a lot of trying. Okay. The first 30 days, it's very deliberate. It's not going to work most of the time. It's because your brain is still so in the habit cycle of just doing what it always does. That first 30 days is about getting aware of when you do it and when you don't, and learning how to put in more opportunities to catch yourself so that you can use the tool. This is the same like when we talk about no BS and introducing, hunger and enough and planning and things like that. So the first 30 days, you're really being super conscious about everything you do. And most of the time, your brain is so fast at doing it the old way that you just won't always catch it. That's not a bad thing. That's just normal. And that's just the way brains work. And when you don't judge yourself and be like, oh my God, Corinne said to do it. I tried it like 4 times and it didn't work. Oh, something's wrong with me. When you do that, you drive up your adrenaline and your cortisol, you self-loathe, you get so upset with yourself, you are going to want to avoid feeling bad. So even if what I'm teaching you makes sense that like, oh, that's good for me. If you talk to yourself like an a-hole when it's not clicking yet, you will avoid doing something that's even good for you to avoid that beatdown. So what I want you to do is just notice when the beatdown's happening and be like, oh, wait a minute. Corinne explained. Like that first 30 days, supposed to be kind of a hot mess. Sometimes I'm supposed to be like, oh, great, I did it. Look what I learned. And sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I totally forgot. Like, oh, you know, you want to remind yourself of that. The next 30 days, things start shifting a little bit. You remember to do it more during the next 30 days. You're using the tool and you're getting some success. But it's like, that's the phase where we've gone from like making sure that we do it and getting aware to a phase where it's a lot easier to actually do it because we keep telling ourselves we just need to get it to where we use the tool, we use the tool. That part of it is where you start getting into the phase of learning. So you'll do the tool, but you may not always be completely successful with it. So like a good example would be if you, let's say you're stopping at enough and you do at dinner and you like say, all right, I'm every single night, I'm in the habit now of stopping halfway through my meal and then deciding if I'm going to continue to go on. That's like a pause plus permission. I have permission to keep eating if after 5 minutes, I still want to eat. About half the time, you walk away. Half the time you eat, even though you know you're not hungry. So that 30 days is about figuring out how to get more times where you walk away, less times on just continuing to go. So that second part becomes messy in this way. You're actually doing it more frequently, but you have an expectation it should be perfect. You have an expectation that because you do it every single time, you should do it exactly the way I said it, and there should be no wiggle room. You don't have the expectation that the second 30 days that in the 60-day window is about learning. What words do I need to say differently next time? What did I learn from this experience? What did I not like about overeating this time that I can remind myself of next time? So that's the first two. The third part is where now you've been doing it for 60 days, you start running into the next 30-day window. And in that window, it's very different. You are automatically doing the thing. So like if we're going to stop eating at 5 minutes, it's a habit for you now. It's like, I always stop. And then that last one is where you have so much learning from the middle that you're now applying and you're getting more successes in the final phase. So it's like the third phase. And in the third phase, it's so much easier when you're not beating yourself up and you're not doing all that stuff. That third phase is a lot easier for you to be able to keep going until you get it to where most of the time you're just doing what you know is the best thing for you. And then sometimes you don't, but it sticks out like a sore thumb now. And because you've spent that 90 days talking to yourself about what you can learn and stuff, the habit of not beating yourself up and the habit of learning from it is now established. That's when real momentum comes in. So if y'all can think about this being a process, and now some of y'all will hear that 90 days, I'm never going to lose weight if everything's going to take me 90 days. That is not true. I lost weight at a nice average clip doing it like that, just layering in things, letting myself get better and better and better at it. Because every time I'm like, did it a little different, every time I overcome something, every time something became more routine or I got used to asking myself questions, I was making better and better choices all along the way. All of that compounded into weight loss. You don't have to do everything perfectly from the get-go in order for weight loss to be happening. So just make sure that you're giving yourself that time. Last question. Can you discuss how to allow the urge instead of just resisting it by force? We actually have calls on that. If my team will link in the show notes, all the calls on urges on how to, like, resisting is just arguing with it. The biggest difference is, like, when you are going to allow an urge, you're going to use the now process, you're going to breathe, you're going to notice how the urge is going through your body. And when you're resisting it, you're not paying attention to your body. You're only paying attention to your thoughts. Most of us, what we do when we're resisting, we're like, oh my God, I'm thinking about food. I've got an urge. This is terrible. Like, we are saying a lot of things that drive stress. When you're allowing an urge, there's not a lot of talking involved in your head. There's a lot of watching your body. It's like, I'm wanting to eat right now. The worst that's happening is my mouth's watering. My heart's palpitating. I notice that I keep thinking about food. There's a calm energy behind it. That doesn't mean your body won't feel wild. So, like, if I'm feeling nauseous, palpitations, if I'm like my mouth's watering stuff, that doesn't feel physically pleasant, but I'm not making it emotionally unpleasant by dogpiling shit like, oh my God, this is terrible. I'm always going to have urges. They're always going to feel this way. The more you allow yourself to be like, oh, this is what an urge is like, eventually your body stops sending up so much shit for your body to react to. So use the now process. I also believe Jane has information in trusting your body about urges. We have urges 2.0 inside of the No BS membership. We talk about, so the third module of No BS is all about urges. We have urges 2.0, which is a self-study course for everybody who wants to deal with urges can take. Trusting your body has a lot of focus on urges also, and about dialing into the body. And then the other thing is, I am sure that we have coaching videos where we have talked about sitting with urges 1,000 times, and we will link y'all to the search for that in the video replays. All right. Y'all have a good one. I will see y'all on Sunday for coaching. Bye, y'all.